Welcome to Ultimate Sports Parent Radio, where we help parents and coaches instill confidence and ensure success in young athletes.
Today on Ultimate Sports Parent Radio, I'm here with tennis expert Bill Mountford, who oversaw all coaches and competitions in Great Britain for the national governing body and worked as director of tennis at the National Tennis Center for the U.S. Tennis Association. He's going to talk about the mental game of tennis.
Get our new program, The Ultimate Sports Parent, a 14-day plan for kids' success in sports, by visiting the product section of youthsportspsychology.com. You'll learn how much pressure is too much, what to do when kids underperform, how to react to kids' losses, how to deal with difficult coaches, little playing time, and more. Visit youthsportspsychology.com, and while you're there, pick up our free ebook.
Hi, Bill.
Good morning, Lisa. Good morning on the West Coast. It's late afternoon here in London.
Well, now, let's start by talking about the mental game. How important is the mental game in tennis? And we're talking about young athletes here.
Yeah, I've heard some experts describe tennis as being 90% mental. That's an opinion that I don't necessarily share, but I respect. I would suggest that at a higher level, especially with juniors who are competing regularly, competing in tournaments, that the mental is to physical what 3 is to 1.
Okay, so you have a 3-to-1 ratio. So that's
mental. Generally, I mean, presuming that the players have sound technique, that they're physically fit, that they're at an even level, then the mental aspects of our sport take on a much greater level of importance. Now, for the vast majority of people, I was saying 3-to-1 ratio for those who are competing. For the vast majority, you know, the mental components of tennis are important, but they're not nearly as important.
Interesting. And for kids, I assume it's the same ratio, the 3-to-1?
You know, it is. One of the things that you'll find interesting, and in my experience as a coach, I had to often remind myself of this, is if you take sort of, an 11-year-old little boy or girl, and he or she is playing in the semifinals of a local 12-and-under tournament, the stresses that that child will feel will be very similar to the anxiety and stresses that Roger Federer would feel in the finals of Roland Garros or Wimbledon or the U.S. Open. The difference is a fellow like Federer has been dealing with those and knows how to deal with those pressures and anxieties expertly because he's been doing it for a decade and a half. And, mm-hmm. you know, it's been 15 years and 15,000 hours of concentrated training, whereas the little 11-year-old, it's very new. That little 11-year-old might have gone to their tennis practices and taken lessons from certified coaches and pros and developed and honed their good technique. And then they get out there and that technique goes to hell in a handbasket and they can't quite understand why. Well, the reason it went is because they would become so tense and the anxiety would just overcome them. And really the natural desire we all have to win sometimes overwhelms us and we're not able to relax and, to use the term, play our game out there. Instead, we clutch up, and then, you know, it brings out the worst in us, worst in many of us, actually.
Now, tell me, when do you think tennis players, young tennis players, should begin learning the mental game? At what age?
Well, I think that has a bit to do with good parenting and especially good coaching, and I think that begins immediately. But it's almost sort of like the backdoor way of coaching them to develop mental toughness, which is to say, when they're first introduced to the sport, I recommend strongly that the coaches immediately shepherd them into the competitive arena. Now, that might be just a, you know, Saturday afternoon intra-club ladder. It might be playing on your local USTA league team, and it might be entering some entry-level sanctioned tournaments, because that will give players immediate feedback. The thing that I love so much about kind of pushing them into competition, and I use that word gently, pushing them, is that it tended to motivate students because they'd get out there and they would be with other peers who had similar interests, and they'd be quite, you know, interested in doing better. And the other thing the competition will do immediately is it will expose the areas where you're a bit flawed, so it gives you that opportunity to kind of go back to the drawing board during the week when you're practicing or working with your coach. So my philosophy is to put them in that competitive arena, even in practice right away. Make sure that when you're practicing not just with a purpose, but you're keeping score. If you're working on backhands, for example, you might structure a drill where the first 1 to 7 points wins. And that way, the young players are accustomed to dealing with, in brackets, in quotes, pressure right from the start. It's not like they're just being fed balls out of a basket, batting practice of sorts, where they're hitting balls without any consequences. But every ball that they play in a game up to seven has some meaning. And that way they become, in effect, their own best coach out there. They learn to deal with pressure and the feelings of trying to win right from the start. Because really that's kind of the heart of, well, sports, but certainly the heart of tennis, which is learning how to perform your best when it counts.
That's interesting, because I would think that doing that would pressure them too much and cause them maybe to drop out.
Well, I neglected to mention the most important word of all, F-U-N, fun. Coaches and parents have to make the experience really an enjoyable and fun one. Mm-hmm. And perspective is really crucial also. I mean, I mentioned the analogy, an 11-year-old playing a local semifinal is as much, feels as much anxiety and pressure as, you know, Andy Roddick has when he played the U.S. Open final. The difference is Roddick had the training. We have to help the children. We, meaning parents and coaches, have to help the children with perspective. And that's the thing that's so crucial about getting them in the competitive arena. Even if it's really local stuff, playing at your club, playing on a local team, get them into that at an early age so they realize that, okay, you know, I did well, and then I lost my second match, or I lost immediately, but the good news is there's another match coming up next Saturday, so I have something to look forward to. And, you know, the absolute best players, their ratio of wins to losses for the best players ought to be about 2-1. So when you think about it, that's a lot of losing. If a young player plays, if the top 12 and under boy plays 90 matches in a year, if he's coached correctly, in my opinion anyway, he ought to be losing 30 of those matches. So that is a great harbinger and a lesson to kind of help mold perspective.
And you should prepare him for that, I assume. You know, we expect you to win and lose so many.
To a certain extent, and I think by just making sure that you're helping them, that's where the expertise of a coach and the understanding and willingness of a parent comes in, is making sure that they're entering the age and ability or level appropriate competitions. Because if they are, then they have a better chance of some success. And if a child is just burning up their weight class, so to speak, then they ought to be pushed into a slightly higher level so they're facing stiffer competition. But unless they're steadily winning two-thirds of their matches, a 9-year-old shouldn't be competing against an 11-year-old. A 12-year-old shouldn't be competing against 15-year-olds unless he's clearing out everyone his own age.
Right.
So you say you should prepare them for that. In effect, by putting them in that environment, that becomes their nature. Chris Evert, the great, you know, wonderful, great American champion, had an interesting quote about that winning, and she might be categorized as the mentally toughest player in history. Many of her opponents would. And she said that she was so accustomed to winning all the time, all the way through juniors, 12-unders, 14-unders, 16, 18-unders, that by the time she was a rookie pro and, you know, was a young player on the tour, soaring right to, she really didn't know any other way other than to win. Now, had her father, when she was a 13-year-old little girl, put little Chrissy into an 8-and-under competition, well, she might have won, but the chances are the older, stronger girls would have handled her, and, you know, she wouldn't have kind of developed that ability to gut out and win those, you know, close battles that sort of were the hallmark of her career. She won so many of those close matches. So that's ancient history, Chris Evert, I suppose,
yeah.
But the story stands, which is that it was her coach / father was pretty precise in making sure that she, you know, there was a perspective, and as a 13-year-old, she was playing against other 13- and 14-year-olds.
Well, now, let me back up and ask you this question again. I asked you when kids should learn mental game skills, and it sounds like what you're telling me is that you help them right away. Is that
precisely? I mean, the mental game skills, I'm a huge proponent in the philosophy of the play-based approach to teaching them. So young players, really all players, including adults and seniors that are veterans who haven't played tennis in 40 years or are 68 years old and taking up the sport for the first time, but especially our youngest players, if they're introduced to our sport in a play-based environment where they're not being simply fed balls out of a teaching basket and, you know, learning strokes in a vacuum where there's no consequences for whether the ball lands in or out, but instead immediately placed in an environment where it's play-based, where you know it's a live point. You offer the first ball perhaps as a coach, and then you let them play it out. They are immediately, while they're developing their movement skills, their shot selection, their technique on their strokes, perhaps most importantly of all, what they're learning is the mental skills. Because if you and I were to play and I lose 2 points and we're playing up to seven, I know I have to really bear down and come back from a love two deficit. If you're playing me and you're up two love, you have to kind of deal with the anxiety of being ahead when you perhaps didn't expect to be ahead. And I think when you do that right from the start, and I mean right from the start, when players are new to our sport, have them play right away. That's one of the misconceptions, one of the areas where I think that we need to do better in the sport of tennis is get people to play right away. The thing that I've always admired so much about, as an example, soccer, is that right from the start, kids are given a bare minimum amount of instruction, and then they play. The kids wearing red kick it toward that goal, and the kids wearing blue kick it toward the other end of the field's goal. And it's pretty simple structure, and then the coaches can kind of space the players out differently, and then they teach them some technique with their feet and better tactics. But ultimately, they're learning in a play-based environment. Tennis should be done the same way. And when you do that in a play-based environment in tennis, inevitably you'll develop those mental skills because you're challenged all the time.
Right. Now, in tennis, how do you help kids build their confidence?
Well, you know, that's an interesting thing, and that's where the art of being a good coach, and that's where, you know, being a really engaged parent comes in, because some kids respond very well to a pat on the back, and some kids need a kick about 18 inches further down from the back. You know, so that's where the art of coaching comes in. But I'll also go back to that ideal that I talked about, which is that if a player is winning roughly two-thirds of the time, then that's a pretty good opportunity for them to be developing confidence. I use that very basic story of Chris Evert. She had that ingrained confidence because she had known nothing since the age of 10 other than to win most of the time. And by making sure that you're helping them enter age and level appropriate competitions, then they're going to have better chances of succeeding. If you throw a 12-year-old into an 18-year-old competition, the chances are they're going to get shelled. They might get shell-shocked, in fact, and they're not going to be really drawn and enjoy the sport. There is another school of thought that says, and I think that is the case, for the real small percentage, some of the kids come out of the womb with a lot of confidence, and then I think it's the role of the coach to kind of challenge them in a different way. But, that's a complicated question, but I would say it goes to the art of being a good coach, but also the structure of allowing them to be in an environment where success is probable.
Right. Well, Bill, you've been tremendously helpful, and thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Lisa. It's great to talk to you, and thanks. I'm glad we got on the horn.
Be sure to visit youthsportpsychology.com to get our new workbook CD program, The Ultimate Sports Parent. You can also pick up our free ebook, 10 Tips to Improve Confidence and Success in Young Athletes. That's youthsportpsychology.com.